your guest host from Canada. Joining us this wonderful day is Rosa Corey, author of that fantastic book, Behind the Green Mask, UN Agenda 21, which should be by your bedside for late night study to deal with the issues of the world. And, of course, we have to pay for the freight here as well, so we want to remind you that Power Our Nation has promotions this week. 10% off Global Healing Center products, Oxy Powder, 120 capsules, Detoxidine, 1 fluid ounce, Vegisafe B12, 1 fluid ounce, Detox Foot Pads, Iron Earth, 10% off, 20% off while supplies last. Willard Water Dark 16 ounce retail $31.99, going for $25.59. Silver Shield Dog and Bedding Spray 12 fluid ounce retail $14.99, on sale for $11.99. Silver Tongue Oral Care Mouthwash 16 ounces retail $13.75, on sale for $11. Toprosen Sports Cream 3 ounces $15.99 down to $12.79, and then free shipping on Strauss Heart Drops with the auto ship available. And being a survivor of the big one, you know, I used to always like that old TV show, The Jeffersons, and he'd always go, "It's the big one, I'm coming, Elizabeth." And my mother's name was Elizabeth, so I'd always wondered if I'd have to say that someday. And, well, I didn't have to get coming, and Strauss Heart Drops helped me out a little bit in the recovery mode as well, because it's something natural, holistic, and doesn't, you know, leach all kinds of important things out of your body like Big Pharma can. So that's something to keep on the list, and better yet, do it before it's too late, because it's a whole lot easier to fix a little problem in the bud than a big one after it happens. And that's one of the big mistakes I made, and don't you do it. So you know where to go. Power Our Nation. They've got a lot of products available to keep your body safe and viable for a good long time. Very good investment in communications and in longevity. You can't go wrong. I know when I used to debate some of these issues that are coming along, and you get into the maelstrom with people, and all the, you know, talking heads on various radio programs all have their, you know, various little ways to shout you down. Well, one of the things I learned is what that is. You learn that in the Lenin School of Political Warfare. You'll have to be a graduate there to understand. But you associate the person you're talking to with a bad idea or person or event, and that kind of takes the feet out from under them to make them look like they're foaming at the mouth and dragging their knuckles or something. But I did something unique. I went to the library. You know, what a place to go. And they had a political science section. And most of the things that we talk about that people might say are conspiracies, because in the old days they were myths, but now they're conspiracies because they're here right now. And you know, I found a treasure trove of great books. And one of them was called Reshaping the International Order by the Club of Rome. And, you know, to summarize it very quickly, there's not enough food, we're all going to die, and we got to give all our power to the little cabal of smart people so that they can rule the world on our behalf. And if we're good, maybe they won't put us to death or something like that. So that's the lack of borders, the global control. It's still run by people, or worse, probably artificial intelligence, and it has no concept of right, wrong, or in between either, and just might say, okay, I turn off the water here and put something over there, and doesn't understand that the people over there are going to die of thirst because it's not alive. And, you know, that might be one of the great things they have on the planning boards for us. Either way, it's a loss, a government of, by, and for the people. Hey, that's something to look forward to. And it's been an evolution of great struggles everywhere. And some of these struggles happen beyond the shores in other countries, and we just inherit the idea or concept to have these things, and that they are for everyone's benefit. So there's no reason to destroy the court system, because it's like poisoning the water supply. It's there for everyone to use and to you know, profit from it, so that you can not have to fight it out. You can talk it out sanely, reasonably. The same with having administrations or governments of, by, and for the people, not slaves hooked up to some money baron somewhere, some Daddy Warbucks who pulls their strings and makes them jump. That's not representative government at all. Representative government is representing somebody like us somewhere along the line somehow. And so I don't see globalization as doing anything to correct the failed notions of what they say happen in nation states. I think the greed and conquest for power and the debasement of various individuals who aspire to power will still hold true. It's just now they'll do it everywhere as opposed into a limited scope. So at one point in time, maybe someone like Hitler or Stalin or Mao could run the whole world. What a happy, happy thought that would be. I look at various nation states based on reading these books as compartmentalization. And that makes a whole lot of sense when you're sailing across the Atlantic on the Titanic, regardless of the circumstances that they say brought the ship to its demise. Compartmentalization keeps the water from going everywhere, and we can float with a couple of sunken compartments, or 12 people swimming, one drowns. If we're all tied together, we all drown. If 11 are separate from the one drowning, there's lots of game plans we can put together to save the person drowning, and that's the importance of the nation state. Do you think for a minute that they're going to even come close to suckering us into this ultimate catastrophe?
Are you asking me?
Yes, indeed.
I think we're pretty darn close, George. I mean, I think if you take a look at the EU, the European Union, that's 28 countries. I think last count I had. I think we better back out the UK. But this is what this does: is it basically has regional governance besides compartmentalizing, so you don't all go down with the ship. It also, the whole concept of the nation state and having it, start at your local government and then go up to your mid-level and then your state or province level and then above that to your nation is that you have a voice. You are it's representative. You're electing a representative who represents you so that you can go off and do your business. And that person, when you check up on him, he's or her, this person has done something you don't like, you diselect them. You vote them out and get someone else in there. And that's, the concept that we have. And since it starts locally, you figure, well, you can keep track of these individuals that you've elevated to higher positions. But what I see is that we've gotten to a situation over the years, and maybe even from the beginning, where people who are even elected to those lower level positions are people who are part of this plan. And that's where we've kind of dropped the ball, because we're taught in school that civics is kind of boring, which it absolutely isn't. It's fascinating and fantastic to be a part of, and very empowering, and also very infuriating. But the thing is that you need to be part of the body politic. Otherwise, otherwise you won't be. And then you'll have what we're seeing now, which is the erasure of the nation state, the erasure of local jurisdictional boundaries, and the creation of a regional unelected board like the European Commission or whatever. I know that they, so you get to elect your representative to this 3 million person board now. But this is, and I want to thank my research colleague and one of the best researchers in, I would say, the world, and that's Vicki Davis at the Technocratic Tyranny, who has done tremendous deep research in how this actually has happened, the devolution the devolution of government and the reinventing of governance, and how that all has happened around the world. And this is our this is what we have allowed to happen. So we do need to refuse to collaborate, refuse to cooperate, put down that thing you have in your hand all the time, your tracking device. Don't share your biometrics. Absolutely refuse as much as you possibly can. Refuse to collaborate, refuse to cooperate with these plans. Now is the time. Now is the time, before there's a gun at your head. This is the time to do it.
And that is one of the parts of the plan, be rest assured, is there'll be a gun put to your head. Being Polish German in my heritage, we know that all too well. I spent a lot of time with my grandparents, and they explained it all, very, very much. I was young, and you think you know it all, so you listen with one ear, but at least they listened with one ear. And now I'm hearing an echo from the modern era that many of the things that they warned me about to watch out for are coming down the road like a freight train. And this whole concept of losing your ability to control your destiny as a group is scary in Canadian history, because it's British parliamentary system. I don't know if they had as much fun in England. I guess they did. There's some good jocularity over there, too. But we had traditions in the 19th century about unelecting. They were things that were called, because you had to come home on the train, right, and those days, and was called running out of town on a rail. So if you didn't represent your community properly, well, they ran you out of town on a rail. They tied you to a rail, and everybody just drag you out and throw you across and say, don't go back. We're going to get somebody else in there. And the other classic one was tarring and feathering. And so you knew full well that you didn't do a very good job representing people. But now it's like it's the other way around. If you come up and say, well, we want to be represented, or we want to look at something for our local community, and it's not done, they turn on you and run you out of the ability to speak on a rail, and tar and feather you with a whole bunch of verbiage to make you look like you're something that you're not. Generally, with most people, is they're not very well-researched or well-spoken. They may be opinionated, and they're easily taken advantage of by people who are very well-trained to use words as weapons and to manipulate what you say and speak the art of legalese and twist everything around into something that you didn't really mean or say, and make you look like a fool so that they can seize the field and take it over. And, this is something that you have to be patient as an audience or, someone who's sharing ideas that, some people for their first time may stumble and fall a little bit while they're speaking. They're not going to come across clearly, concisely, but they're heartfelt. They're probably the kind of person who jump in the lake and pull you out and not hold you under. So be kind and try to listen to what they're saying, and then maybe step in and rephrase it a little better, or provide them with some more information so the message gets across a little clearer. But they would probably be better in public office than the fools and morons we put in, because most of them are all shills. You cannot get a position as a good, decent, moral person, probably with most of the mainstream political parties. You will be obliterated from the public speaking environment. And a lot of people that followed this show for a long time and some things probably were very much inured to Rand Paul. And you thought he was the best guy. And that, he would do a good job and he would represent people. And, I remember once here in Toronto, when they had a Republican debate, and I forget how many were running, we'll say it was 12. And when you read the fine print of who's there, there's only 11 names, and you know whose name was left out. Hey, wait a minute. I know he was there. I can see his picture because I know who he is. But they just take you out of the context of the ability to make counter change or even to give you a fair chance. And another way they do that in Canada, if you're with a fringe party, you can't go with the debates. And that happened in America, too. I know I was just apoplectic about people with some of the minor parties that are around, could be like the Constitution Party or things like that, and they'd have a national debate, and because you were, even though you might have millions of supporters, but because you weren't enough, you didn't go to debate or having a chance. And one woman, I remember her distinctly, being arrested. Maybe she was libertarian, I don't remember. But she was arrested trying to go to the debate. And I go, well, she's on the ballot. If you're on the ballot, you should be able to participate in the debate, because I have the right to pick you, even if you look weird and, walk funny or something like that. But you're on the ballot, and that's my pick when the time comes, not for you to decide, well, I'm going to exclude that message, because it may be very important. And sometimes someone who comes from like a minority party, they're very, very informed. Any minority party I've ever associated with, the people are very intelligent. And that's why they're in these parties. It's because the fools run the other ones overall. It's just like the will of the majority. So it's just like, a lynch mob. Okay, we got this idea or that idea, and everybody runs, but nobody thinks anything out or reasons anything out. So I find them very well balanced. and just to ask good, pertinent questions and put some of these other leaders on the spot to get a good answer would do a lot for mm-hmm. everything.
You know, it's interesting. You know, I agree with you, of course. The more voices that you have, the better. And it used to be in the school system you would learn rhetoric or debate. You'd be in the debate team or you'd have debates. Now that's completely, you know, you might say something. You're a hater, you know. And this is, I would say, a lot of what's happened, you know, aside from shutting people down and closing out debate, making it so that people, for instance, that was the, what did they call that? The Occupy people. We went down to talk to them when they were occupying the center of our town here, and as soon as you said something that challenged anything that they were saying, they turned red in the face and they started shaking their hands in the air like, no, don't talk to me, don't say that to me. You're hurting me. Your words are hurting me. And this is, you know, the idea now that you can say something. You know, this is part of the concept of, you know, hanging your gender title around your neck, because therefore, if, you know, I'm going to be so severely emotionally destroyed if you refer to me as she by accident. And, you know, this is part of this is, I have to say, it's a whole ethical breakdown of our entire cultures, because Agenda 21, Sustainable Development, it's made up of three pillars, as they call them. They're very serious about themselves. It's environment or ecology, economy, and equity, social equity. And, of course, social equity is, you know, social justice. But there's also what they call a fourth pillar, and that is culture. And so the idea of culture, you know, that is yet another target. So this is, you know, I don't know, each nation thinks of itself in a certain way. You know, you have a certain concept of yourselves as a moral people. And ethics, the destruction of ethics is a vital part of this plan, because, in fact, it's a real destruction of the concept of man and nature, and the idea that you know, that there's any absolute right and wrong. So this is where the pedal hits the metal here, or whatever, you know, the rubber meets the road with ethics, and with why it is that you can be completely ignored or shamed or attacked or trashed for saying something that doesn't fall in line with the sustainable development lie. Because there's no ethical stop, there's no break on what people are willing to do. And in fact, your religious institutions are part of this now. You've got the Global Conference on Religion and Sustainable Development. The Episcopalians are, you know, they might as well just call themselves Agenda 21 cheerleaders, you know, and the Quakers. I mean, this is, you know, but all religions are on board with this identifier as you know, sort of ethical moral framework that the environment is going to replace religion and ethics in Agenda 21. And this is the, you know, and let me just throw in here, I'm sorry to keep going, but Agenda 2030, I just want to make sure I make this point. Agenda 2030, and, you know, people are, you know, I know you're all educating yourselves, you feel it, you're right on top of it, and I think that's phenomenal. But don't fall for the lie that Agenda 2030 has eclipsed and deep-sixed Agenda 21. Agenda 21 is the agenda for the 21st century. That's a 100-year period. Agenda 2030 is a 30-year-in milestone period. It is not... the reason that the United Nations and its cheerleaders have sort of put that out there in front is because we have gained a lot of traction with helping people understand what's going on with Agenda 21. So if they can deep six all of that information, if they can obscure that, if they can say, oh, you know, that's the old stuff, don't look at Agenda 21, we've got the new thing now. Don't fall for that. That's just the 30-year milestone within that 100-year Agenda 21 plan.
And each one of them is a rope around the neck of society and everyone in it, because we are being marginalized to be beyond belief. I was just shocked in doing some research a couple of weeks ago to find out there were conferences on the management of human and animal resources. And you know, I'm glad you mentioned the word man before, because I'm pen pals with the grandniece of one of Canada's former prime ministers, who's one of the most intelligent women I know. And she made it quite clear that Hugh Man was a United Nations invention or something of that ilk. And it's, you know, a way to dehumanize you, not to humanize you. And, you know, it just sounds better in the political sphere, I guess. But these are dangerous times. I know in, you know, my little post I have there about the importance of reading, I got a quote from Congressman Larry P. McDonald, 1976, killed in the Korean Airlines 747 crash shot down by the Russians. In searching for a new enemy to unite us, we came up with the idea that pollution, the threat of global warming, water shortages, famine, and the like would fit the bill. In their totality and in their interactions, these phenomena do constitute a common threat with demands the solidarity of all peoples. But in designating them as the enemy, we fall into the trap about which we have already warned, namely mistaking systems for causes. All these dangers are caused by human intervention, and it is only through changed attitudes and behavior that they can be overcome. The real enemy, then, is humanity itself.
Mm-hmm.
Or, as Pogo used to say, I've seen the enemy. It is us.
He is us. I know. See, this is the way that they make humanity the enemy, and then they teach it to children. So little kids are going to school every day, and they're learning that they are the problem, and that turning your water on while you're brushing your teeth is destroying the planet. And it's a mind control thing, because people are unable to overcome this, especially small children. The most vulnerable people on the planet are told that they have the power to destroy the planet and the power to save it. And they're creating psychosis in these children. And this is, of course, part of the design, is that you watch to see what happens. All of these people are being monitored from the time that they're practically prenatal. And this is part of, you know, the rewarding and punishing of human behavior. It's the new value system, the social credit score concept, and that's what you're seeing. So this is how you control an entire populace of the planet.
Teach your children well, my friends. Teach your children well. This is Power Hour Nation. I'm your guest host from Canada, George Freund, back on the flip side with Rosa Corey.
Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. I thought I would discuss an item that's very valuable to my personal health and well-being. That product is called Curcumin X4000. Its potent antioxidant properties have been shown to decrease swelling and allow us to enjoy our golden years. Take control over your health today, guys. Order Curcumin by calling 877-817-9829 or order at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Oxygen. It's nature's oldest therapy and plays an essential role in destroying viruses, bacteria, mold, yeast, and fungus, and keeping the human body healthy and strong. Now, you can give your body and your immune system a mega boost of disease-fighting oxygen with all-natural Oxy-C. With so many people now leading a sedentary indoor lifestyle, most are in a chronic state of oxygen deprivation, which sets up a perfect environment for disease, general fatigue, and a host of other symptoms. Oxy-C is yours in simple, convenient capsules. Nothing to mix, nothing to hassle with. Take it with juice or water anytime. Feel a cold or flu approaching? Have no energy or spark anymore? Try all-natural Oxy-C and prepare to be amazed. Oxy-C is only available from New Earth Health Solutions at Rents.com. Look for the New Earth banner at Rents.com.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams Probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
If you've been listening to this program for any length of time, you'll know that Fukushima, the greatest calamity in history, has now, as I've been warning since 3/11, killed off virtually the whole North Pacific Ocean and especially up and down the entire West Coast. The radiation is migrating inland and is moving across the entire country. There's only one proven defender to radiation exposure, the brilliant Chernobyl-proven discovery of Dr. Michael Kiriak, which combines the four most potent and powerful algae on the planet, imported to the U.S. and known as Bio's Superfood. I've taken Bio's Superfood every day for several years now and want you to do the same for your sake and the health and safety of your family and loved ones. Take the banner at the top of Rents.com and prepare to learn how to save your life.
Hi, this is Catherine at the Power Hour. The Power Mall began when Joyce Riley discovered an all-natural soap that heals skin issues and can replace your bathing, laundry, and household cleaning products. That soap is Miracle 2 and is made from natural minerals and coconut extract with no added fragrances or colors and is naturally concentrated and biodegradable. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. To order, call 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com today. You'll learn why so many people say, it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
With dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Humana Food Storage is nutritious, is GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemicals, preservatives, or soy. And Humana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. Call Jay at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at thepowermall.com.
America made just for you. Food stores I love to eat. Yum!
We're back. Welcome to Power Hour Nation. I'm your guest host from Canada, George Freund. Joining us is the great blessing from the state of California, Rosa Corey, author of that fantastic book that you have to get. Don't ever buy books from, like, evil people or anything like that. You know, learn a little bit from it, but do support the good guys, as we always say on Power Hour. Get behind the green mask, you and Agenda 21, because you got to support the good guys. As I look into, you know, some of the work of the green people that, you know, is probably not on the front page of the newspapers very often, if at all, is their words are, like, if there's hate speech, this is hate speech with capital letters from end to end. So looking at a Finnish environmentalist, Pentti Linkola, if I'm pronouncing his name anywhere near properly, but they come up with a term for us poor plebes here at the bottom, homo destructivus. Well, that, in me, I'd probably get like Coyote and Roadrunner together and go, meep, 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 and try to make a joke out of that. But they're very serious. And then, you know, like, listen to something like this and then expect your green guy or, you know, in Canada, your NDP person or something like that, or someone addicted to this green agenda to come up to you with this statement. What to do when a ship carrying 100 passengers suddenly capsizes and only one lifeboat, with room for only 10 people, has been launched. When the lifeboat is full, those who hate life will try to load it with more people and sink the lot. Those who love and respect life will take the ship's axe and sever the extra hands that cling to the sides of the boats. And when you look at great survival stories in the ocean, believe me, you overloaded a lot to get people to safety. And, you know, it just boggles my mind that someone who would believe that. Yes, sometimes you can get to a point where you are overloaded and you just have to survive somehow because you can't do anymore. But not to even make the effort and to think to turn it into a homicidal act, that you're actually going to kill the people trying to survive and that somehow you're doing them a favor, is somehow kinder, benevolent, is beyond belief. He says, this with quote marks yet, we still have a chance to be cruel, but if we are not cruel today, all is lost. The sworn enemy of Christians and humanists both, Linkola, knows that the fate of the earth will never be rescued by those who exalt tenderness, love, or dandelion garlands. Neither the developed nor the underdeveloped populations of the planet deserve to survive at the expense of the biosphere as a whole. Linkola has urged that millions will starve to death or be promptly slaughtered in genocidal civil wars. Mandatory abortion should be carried out for any female who has more than two offspring. The only countries capable of inflicting such draconian measures are those of the West. Yet, ironically, they are the ones most hamstrung by debilitating notions of liberal humanism. As Linkola explains, the United States symbolizes the worst ideologies in the world, growth and freedom. The realistic solution will be found in the implementation of an eco-fascist regime where brutal battalions of green police, having freed their consciences from the syrup ethics, are capable of doing whatever is necessary. So when you said put the gun to the head, believe me, they are going to put the gun to your head. And that people like this are giving the keys to the store to run governments or influence policy or anything like that. I've had to save human lives in my life. I was a peace officer for a long time in my younger years and things like that, where you got to lay it all on the line. And the odds are against you. And it's just, you know, I'd always say, you know, God's my co-pilot or my partner, because there's no way this is going to happen without some kind of extra power on your side to bring. But just to, you know, say, oh, I'm going to pull out an axe, just chop this guy's hands off. You know, I always looked at it, if we're going together. I remember once a child was stuck in a train tracks. And at that time I was working for an armored car company in the holdup business. And my partner was a very, very decent man, John. And, you know, we'd always sing oldie songs and drive around, have a good time. And it just amazed me how blind people are. It's rush hour. We're driving over some big rail tracks. And this is on the GO train line where the big commuter trains go to Toronto and back. And we look down the line and we see this young girl in the train tracks and she's not moving. We're going like, hey, what's going on? Pew! Turn off, run to the tracks. And where two tracks come together and get tight, somehow she got her foot under the pedal and it got wedged in between and she couldn't get out. And we're like, holy smokes. You know, a train could be coming any time. It's rush hour. You know, they're commuter trains and they're not going slow either. So, you know, we use the syrupy ethics. We try to get the tire iron out of the car and get her foot out, and we can't. And, you know, we call the railway police to stop the train, call the fire department. We're doing everything humanly possible for that kid. End of story. And then it gets to the point, well, we can't get her out. And then my buddy John looks at me and goes, you're a father. You got young kids. You can't do this. I go, what are you going to do? He says, well, if the train comes, I'm going to have to break her foot and pull her out with the tire iron. And that's probably best for me to do because I'm a single guy and you ain't. And I go, okay. And I said, well, what do you do if you can't get her out? He says, well, I'm not going to let her go. We go meet Jesus together. I go, well, that ain't going to happen. So I drive my car down the train tracks to flag down the train in case it comes so they got extra time to stop. But we don't leave the person to die. We don't leave humanity to die. What causes all these kerfuffles all over the world is our systemic greed. Because we, more, you know, how come the Navy never sends a task force to feed people that are starving in Africa? But they're all over in Iran to fight over the oil and countries before for whatever dominoes they wanted to domino over. Fleets are all over the place. What's wrong with bringing food or medical aid to people in need? We have the technology. Hundreds of years ago with sailing ships and no refrigeration, well, that's a waste of time because all you're going to bring them is moldy garbage and they die from eating that. But we have the technology today where we could land a military transport plane anywhere and look after people, and they could get, like, the full assistance of a modern culture, you know, they just don't have a phone to call 911, and they're just ignored to death. And that's okay. We do that all the time in the profit motive, but I don't think it's okay. I know a long time ago, I found a Life magazine that talked about the Great White Fleet, and there was a senator named Hubert Humphrey, and he was into this program. We're going to take some old aircraft carriers and a hospital ship and turn them into humanitarian relief vessels to go and do things like that, to show a good side of a big, powerful nation like the United States and do good work and not cut the hands off, but actually pull them on the ship and help them out and give them what they need. And I looked at that as, that's fantastic. Didn't pan out eventually. There was lots of volunteers and lots of money at the beginning, but it just didn't come to pass. But I'd say that's a better world than the one the green guys have. I don't want to chop your hand off. I want to hold it, even if it's to the end, not to throw you back in the water for shark food. And so I hope when you hear this green agenda coming along, you know, you look at what's in their hearts, and then you look at other people at what's in their hearts. And if you can't tell the difference, well, I guess all is lost, but I'm sure you can. Do you see this violence as something that they'd be willing to do at all costs?
Well, you know, it's pretty interesting that you brought up those stories, because obviously hypocrisy isn't an eliminator for these things. Ted Turner, who's a huge supporter of Agenda 21 in the United Nations, he has 5 kids. So, you know, the lifeboat story, that lifeboat story that you gave, you know, where what if you have a lifeboat and you've got 100 people and it will only fit 90, how are you going to choose who gets on there? They give that little line, that little story, that little concept, that little ethical decision to children. And that's one reason why there's a social credit score that you can see that being rolled out in China, where you can, you know, we're going to decide whether you're worth it or not. And the idea that you would replace God with the environment, then it'll be ethical to eliminate people. And, you know, these stories, I mean, your stories are great, George, but I'm going to tell you that these climate change panickers, they think that they are the Holy Crusade Army. And that's what the issue is that they have been so indoctrinated and manipulated that they see themselves as the, you know, the holy rescuers of the planet. And this is what is so incredibly insidious and dangerous about this. And in fact, you know, the social credit score, the climate assessments, all of this is predicated on the STAR system, which is sustainability, tracking, assessment, and rating. And human transformation requires tracking, assessment, and rating, because there is a desire by the people who are controlling this plan, who are running this plan, to find out who the people are who can be used to implement this plan. So it's constant, it's a continuous loop of tracking, assessing, monitoring, rating, and controlling. And that's what 5G blockchain, Internet of Things is all about, really. And so, yes, I mean, we're talking about some really basic ethical things. But when you're talking about, you know, thinking about the Army and why doesn't the Army go in and, you know, do what the Army could do, I'll give you an example here of John Negroponte, who was the ambassador to the United Nations, and he was the first director in the United States of the National Intelligence Agency under W. Bush. He said, this was on C-SPAN, I watched him. He said, why doesn't the United States do some capacitating with the UN peacekeeping forces? It would be so much cheaper. In fact, in a word, outsourcing our military requirements to the UN would be an order of magnitude cheaper. This is a transfer of your sovereignty to the United Nations military force. So this is the advocacy, the concept of humanity being ranked and valued differently. And also back in 1945, Henry Morgenthau, who was actually, he was treasurer of under FDR, and he also, in fact, was the president of Bretton Woods meeting, he said, we can hardly expect a nation state to make itself superfluous, at least not overnight. And this is, so what this does, the further away you are from government or governance, the less ability you have to influence it. And socially and psychologically, the further you are from full humanity and full value, the less ability you have to influence it. This is why we are really at a cusp right now. This is a tremendously important moment in history. We are not fully technologically taken over yet. We can still refuse to collaborate and cooperate with this plan. And it is vital, vital that we educate ourselves and each other. We have to talk about this openly and just educate. The more you know, the more able you will be to talk about this. And of course, you're going to be a bore. People won't like you. You're going to lose all your friends and your family. But you know what? You're going to make your own new friends and new family, because this plan is really about destroying your opportunity to live free for the rest of your life and the rest and your children, grandchildren, whether you have them or not. This is the world that you're helping to create. If you're not fighting it, you're acquiescing to it, you are part of it.
Well, the funny thing is, you know, you just paraphrase what Jesus said about friends, family, and things like that. When you follow him, like, relationships are destroyed, primary family relationships, and then new replacements come along to supplant them. And, you know, I can't quote that chapter and verse because I don't have it at my fingertips, but I'm sure people who are in the book know what I'm talking about. And that's the big thing. That you're going to get, you know, new family, new friends to take on this great monolith and put it to rest once and for all. I watched, listened to BBC World Service this morning, and they had a thing about the technology that it's called the spy in your pocket. And if you go to their website, you can find that quite quickly. But it's, you know, how surveillance software designed to track drug dealers and terrorists is going to be used to spy on journalists, human rights activists, lawyers, carrying out legitimate activities. This software is so powerful, it's classified as a weapon, to give you some idea of what you're dealing with. This is like something from Star Wars. And, you know, devious and insidious governments all over the world are just leaping at this. So what it does is it takes control over all the apps on your phone. Even if you have something to, you know, code something or whatever, it'll get the information before that happens, and it can turn on all the sound, all the pictures, and do anything. And you know, it's just fiendish what this mm-hmm. thing is. And primarily, it's set up against the people who want to liberate you. The you know, I look at, you know, pure journalists and human rights activists and lawyers as being the defense in this struggle, and that they can set on them surreptitiously, because nobody really understands that this technology has even been invented or is deployed to, you know, to win the game for them. And so that's something, you know, I've espoused for some time on this show, is, you know, that little box you got in your hand is your worst enemy.
Really, drop it. And, you know, also don't test your genes. Don't spit in that cup and send out your DNA. Don't do that. That, in fact, you don't have the right to do that, as far as I'm concerned, if you're a family member of mine, because you're giving my DNA to someone, and I do not agree with that. It doesn't matter. You know, don't be ridiculous. Does it really matter whether you're Irish or Scottish? You know, who cares? Or if you're going to get Alzheimer's, maybe. I mean, these things aren't really even designed for what they tell you they're designed for. This is about keeping your personal information and about using it to create an enormous database to track, monitor, and control you. And, you know, your tracking device that you hold in your hand that you take everywhere. And how about when you're on Facebook and you tag all your friends? You know, just quit doing that. Really. Go get a clamshell phone and have a life. This is, you know, this is about destroying your existing system, and we are asking for it. That's what's so powerful. They're selling us what we want. They're telling us to want it, we're wanting it, and then we're buying it. They don't. If I told you that you were going to have to hold a spy device in your hand at all times that would say everything about you, where you are, what you're thinking, who you hang out with, you would you'd tell me there'd be no way you'd do that. And yet, that's what you do every day, all day long. So, you know, what this is going to do is it's going to create the situation where you're going to start using virtual reality, and you're going to prefer virtual reality to your existence. You're going to live in your smart growth unit, where you have this thing over your head where you're going to be watching, you know, yourself, and you'll be the star of your own movie. This is your life through a technological screen. And this is going to eclipse your actual reality. And it's designed to basically destroy you. You're not going to be out there making revolution, I guarantee you, when you're watching a movie with you and your favorite movie star having personal interactions, if you can follow my drift. So that's what's going on. And we have to resist. You can do it. Resist. That's what we're here for. This is why we're here, and that's why we're alive now, is to fight this. If you don't fight it now, you're not going to. You need to do it. Use your head. Think about all the ways that you are making this plan possible. And then pull back your support. Don't volunteer for those nonprofit organizations that are making Agenda 21 happen. And don't follow along with the technology. If you can fight it, if you can opt out, if you can block it, do it. This is the time. Do it now.
Well, one of my old Georgisms from years ago, too, is resistance is not futile. Those are, you know, that's a computer virus put in your brain. Resistance is fundamental. And you underline the fun, because you can have a lot of fun being a resistor just by, you know, little tricks that come along where you stick a monkey wrench in the gears and it starts to fall apart or implode. And part of it is with me for public speaking or exposing some of the lies and devious things. But this virtual reality you're talking about, there are two murder suspects being pursued here in Canada. They killed three people in British Columbia. And one of them was a total whack job who was addicted to these virtual reality games. And he can't decide or determine, you know, his reality from the game. And, you know, he murdered three people for this because he's in a better place. That was an old Twilight Zone episode ages ago, too, called 16 Millimeter, where a woman who was a famous star in the 30s, you know, feels the life, the world has passed her by, and she just sits in a room and watches her old movies with her stars and wants to go back into that reality, a virtual reality. They were talking about that in the early 60s and the 50s, that they were prepared for this virtual reality world. Elon Musk says he wants to put your brain on the internet, and he wants to do it by next year where you can be in the cloud. And as I heard that, it just reminded me of the Return of Christ part of the Bible, where those that are living and remain rise in the cloud to free those that are dead, the ones that are trapped in the cloud, as opposed to the big billowy thing that makes rain. And that just added a whole new light to the equation to me, to say that we are on the cusp of something very big, something very powerful, something totally beyond our control. Why go there? You're walking into a trap. Get out while you can. And resist and turn it off and not take these devices. I don't have any apps. I don't even have, like, say, I got a clamshell phone. I had to fight to get it, and I don't want to connect it to the internet. I just want a phone just in case. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as soon as I saw the first one that's got a camera on each side, you know, I'm like, oh, I understand. I want to look at my fanny right. Anytime I'm bending over, you know.
At least put a Band-Aid over that one. You know, on the one that's on your computer, at least put a Band-Aid over it. You can do that.
Oh, indeed. I have. Or I just don't have it. As soon as that, like, the laptop came out with a free camera on it, I'm going, oh, you looking at me? You weasels. Mm-hmm. You know, but that's why Windows is called Windows, right? But when somebody climbs up a ladder and looks in my window, I have the opportunity to open it and push it off when they do it in the physical realm. But in this virtual realm, they're looking all the time. And, you know, like, I'm just amazed that people buy all the new TV sets, have a camera inside. What do you think it's doing?
Yeah. These are, you know, and how about the service that you can pay for that monitors what goes on in your home? You know, here it's through your cable. And they keep the history for like a year. You have access to it for 3 months, I think, but they have it on file for a year. And, you know, you're going to forget that thing's on when you're inside your own house. So basically, there's enough. The thing that's incredible about now is there's just enough data collection is possible at this point. You know, 1.5 million square, I don't know, 1 million, I don't know how big that thing is, 1.5 million square feet. It must be much bigger than that. I can't remember. In Utah, on the military base, where it's all, you know, everything, all the trunk stuff, everything that goes through the United States is being collected there, including everything encrypted, because they figure they're going to be able to unencrypt it at some point and be able to track you. And the thing is that now, you know, that we have, as I was saying, moved away from a commodity-based monetary system to this tech-based system where your data is the product and you're generating that all the time. You're doing that for free. And all of that stuff is being used. And so if you want to continue to be part of that, do it. Otherwise, you know, Amazon keeps a history of every single thing you've ever purchased. All of these websites are designed to track you and keep information on you. And that's, you know, you yourself aren't worth anything, but your info, your data is worth a lot.
Oh, indeed. And you're so easily suckered into this because people will just ask you a simple question. You don't realize what information you're giving. You shop at the store. What's your phone number? You know, well, none of your business. What's your, you know, social security number? Well, that's none of your business either, and stuff. So just don't voluntarily give it out, because you're just giving more rope to be hung later at a future date where this is going to be used against you. A woman I know whose husband is in this advertising data collection stuff, she says, if you knew what they could do, you wouldn't sleep nights. I said, well, I probably do, and I do sleep nights. But it's just something I'm not going to participate in. Facebook, I looked at Facebook in the old days, like in my grandparents' days. Like the Gestapo has to go door to door. Who do you know? Mm-hmm. Where do they go? What do you do?
Right.
Now you just put it all on there. Oh, my children are here anytime. And, you know, I hide my money over there and I do this there. Not the way to be. Anyway, looks like we're running for the exit. So while we got the time, we're going to have to thank Rosa Corey for coming out, doing such a great job. And for your projects in the future, we look forward to sharing them with the world here. Thanks for coming out, Rosa.
Well, thank you, George.
God bless.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Dr. Joe Schneller.
The efficacy that we're looking for, that we're going to prove, is that Carnivora wakes up this immune system and makes it dominate.
I highly recommend that you get started right away using Carnivora, because it really will help you. Just follow the directions as the company gives them to you. And I just want everybody to know that there's been no one paid to do this. I'm doing this on my own because I care about everybody and want to see healthy people.
My husband has recovered tremendously after the physician suggested that he start taking Carnivora. When he was doing so well, I decided to start taking it as well, and we're both so pleased to be able to feel healthy again.
Hello, folks. Richard Ostro of Carnivora Research International here. Visit carnivora.com or call 1-866-VENUS-FLY. That's carnivora.com or 1-866-VENUS-FLY. Call us today.